Can I give her a hug, please?
Late today, a powerful moment in court as the brother of Amber Geiger's victim forgave her and asked for an embrace. She sobbed in his arms.
No justice, no peace!
But outside the courtroom, outrage as Geiger learned her sentence.
And assessed the defendant's punishment at 10 years imprisonment.
The prosecution had asked for no less than 28 years, the age Botham John would have turned this week. The jury took less than 2 hours of deliberations to hand down the sentence, capping a dramatic trial. During today's emotional punishment phase, John's father broke down on the stand, saying his family is brokenhearted.
I'll never see him again. And I won't see him. I still won't see him.
His son was shot and killed last September in his own apartment. Geiger claims she mistook him for a burglar after accidentally barging into his unlocked apartment, thinking it was her own. Today, for the first time, we heard from Geiger's mother, who described how her daughter was sexually molested as a child by a man she dated. Karen Geiger says her daughter was distraught after Jean's death.
She wished she could have taken his place. She feels very bad about it.
Before the proceedings ended, the judge gave Amber Geiger her personal Bible and told her this is where you need to start.
All right, all right. That built tension right there, won't it? Well, good morning, everybody. Well, my name is Lance, and I serve as the lead pastor alongside Pastor Richard here. And we're going to be talking about this today. You know, when this happened about a month ago when the sentencing was given, I immediately called Pastor Richard because we're in a series entitled Difficult Conversations. And I immediately called Pastor Richard and I said, Champ, we're going to have to talk about this. We're a church, a multi-ethnic church, and this has to be addressed because as we're going to discover today, that tensions like this and what this sentencing and what Brant John, Botham John's brother, did in that moment of forgiving that white police officer was something that needed to be addressed according to Scripture. And so if you're here for the first time, we want you to know that this is a difficult conversation. But as a church, we are willing and our heart desire is to apply the gospel to these events that happen. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, in John chapter 1, really is going to help us understand why are we addressing this. Does this, because you might be thinking in your mind, does this have anything to do with Jesus? Does this have anything to do with the gospel? We're going to discover it does. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 14, he says, for he himself, now that's talking about Jesus, for Jesus himself is our peace, who has done what? Made us both. Now when he said made us both, what he's talking about, he's referring to the Jews and the Gentiles. Basically, all nations, Jesus has made all nations what? For all nations, he has made one. And he has done this by doing what? He broke down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Good. Now, if you watch the news, you would know that this event, what happened, created a lot of hostility. Mm. Jesus tore that down. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself, here's the great promise, one new man in place of the two. Because you have to understand, Jew and Gentile, there was a lot of hostility, there was bigotry, and there was racism between Jew and Gentile. The Jewish community thought the Gentiles had no association, they could never associate with God or the things of God. But Jesus, what is he saying? I'm about bringing them together. He might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus, here's what he does. And the Word became flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Those two words, three words are important for us. Grace and truth. When you look at Ephesians, you look at John, this is why as a church, we have to address issues like this. To avoid this, really, because we are a multi-ethnic church, would be doing a lot of people a very disservice. Right. But it also would cause us to miss out on a tremendous opportunity. Because people are having conversations about things like this.
Thanksgiving is coming soon.
Oh, Lord. Family members are showing up.
Hours and hours of nothing but family.
This conversation could arise. Hey, exactly. What do y'all think about Brotham John? And we, as we're going to learn here in a moment, are ministers of reconciliation. And so we cannot avoid the conversation because that's what a lot of people want to do. Let me just avoid it because I feel uncomfortable. Let me just avoid it because I don't know what to say.
Or attack it.
Or that's what I'm going to go to next. You're exactly right. Or a lot of people just come in anger and frustration. And so we as a church, we have to know who we are as ministers of reconciliation. And we have to know how to address this according to the gospel. Amen? And so today I want you to know it might get a little bit uncomfortable, and that's okay.
The person beside you is uncomfortable as well.
Exactly. We all might get a little bit uncomfortable this morning, and that's okay. Here's the thing. We're a church family. We are family, and we're a multi-ethnic family. And for us to truly walk together and not just have surface relationships, but for our relationships to go deep, especially with another ethnicity, then we have to have these conversations because you can't have these conversations at work. You might get fired. But it's the church. But the sad thing is the church, a lot of the church avoids this conversation, but not here at Bethel. And so this is not only a time that you're going to be ministered to. This is the time you're also going to be equipped in how to answer the conversation. See, for us, we have to make the decision. What kind of church are we going to be? For some churches, again, they choose to ignore it. And they choose to ignore it because they would say things like, well, the Bible really doesn't talk about or address things like this. And I would have to say, what are you reading? Because as we just read in Ephesians 2, this is one of the very reasons why Jesus came and died. So that you and I, from different cultural backgrounds, different ethnicities, could be made one. Other churches would say, well, we're going to preach on every social event or everything current event that happens. Well, the problem with that is, number one, that's almost impossible because there's a lot of things that happens. But number two, what happens is the pulpit becomes a place where somebody begins to push their own political and social agenda. And for Bethel, we're not going to be that kind of church. Bethel, we push the agenda of the kingdom of heaven. And what we're talking about today in this issue, what happened? This sentencing, this young man dying, let me tell you something. It is a kingdom agenda. Other churches might say, well, we want to address it. We want to talk about it, but they struggle. And the reason why is because most churches are homogenous churches, meaning that it's all made up of the same ethnicity, one people group. And if you are just made up of one people group, one color, there's no way you can address this properly. But the good news today is we're not that kind of church.
Amen.
We're a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multicultural church.
Somebody say
church.
Amen to that.
That's good news. You know, Pastor Richard and I, you know, we've been walking together for 15 years. So I don't want you to sit here and we have been talking about this issue for a long time. But I don't want you to think it doesn't get uncomfortable for us. And I have learned so much as we have talked about this and talked through this with our staff. I have learned so much about those who do not look like me, about how they feel and the things that they're going through. And so, Pastor Richard, why don't you pick that up and just talk to us about what's happened and where we're going to go from there.
Well, in September of 2018, most of us didn't hear about this until this year, but in September of 2018, there was a young man of Haitian-American heritage. He was in his apartment, in his living room, and all sources that I've seen say that he was eating a bowl of ice cream. Everybody like ice cream?
Oh, I do, Chad.
I know you kill
moose
some ice cream.
Tracks.
Moose tracks. What is that?
Peanut butter.
I don't want any moose in my ice cream.
Champ, it is the bomb.
I believe that. And he was sitting in his living room eating ice cream, and at the same time, there was a police officer named Amber Geiger, and she got off work, and she was going home to her apartment. If many of you guys have been in an apartment complex, you know, the different floors kind of look very similar. And so she got off on the floor that she thought to be her floor and went to the door that she thought was her door. It was unlocked. She walks in and she says a shadowy figure approached her. And she was a police officer that was fully dressed as a police officer. So that means she had her gun with her. So she pulls out the gun and she shoots Bothan John until he's dead. And For some of you, this is just another news story, and for some, it was so much more. It's because for many people, maybe not you, or maybe it is you, this is part of a larger narrative that we're going to talk about. And when things like this happen, usually there are two responses from the media, from the city that it happens in, and it's usually one is a cry for justice. You heard that on the news report, no justice, no peace. That's what a lot of people were crying. And the second call is very different. It's seeking peace and unity. So the big question is, where do we fall on this? Or more importantly, where does the gospel land when it comes to this issue? Because many people will say that the gospel is to do this. Or others will say, no, the gospel commands us to do this in this situation. And what makes this more controversial is that Bothan Jean was black and this officer was white. And the historical narrative of the police shooting unarmed black men has been around for centuries.
You know, you know, when we talk about this, you might be thinking to yourself, you know, Pastor Lance, Pastor Richard, why are you making this a racial issue? Do we really have to go there? Well, first off, I want you to know that, and again, we're going to keep it real today. Is that all right? Everybody?
It's too late. We're already real.
We're already in it. Exactly.
We're woke. We're so woke.
Yeah, brother.
We don't know what that means.
Exactly. We're already in it. So I'm going to be talking to all the white people in the room. And Pastor Riss is going to be talking about all the African-Americans, Hispanics, and Asians in the room.
I'm going to represent, you know, like 9/10 of the world.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I got all the white folks.
You got an easy job.
So, again.
You know you just mentioned like 4 continents.
I know, it's yeah, sorry. It's good, though. Keeping it real. All right. As I've learned a lot, as I've asked Pastor Richard and Pastor Aaron, and we talked through Jasmine, our staff, I've learned so much about this. And so, if you're even saying to yourself, why is this a racial, issue, or why are we doing this? Listen, only white people would ever ask that question. Another ethnicity, because to them, and this cuts them at the heart, to the heart. And so, as I begin to think through this and talk to Pastor Richard, you know, as a white man, I have no fear sitting in my home wondering, is somebody going to come in and shoot me? That has never crossed. I told Pastor, I said, champ, that has never crossed my mind. And Pastor Richard said, well, now it crosses my mind. And I thought to myself, golly. And so for a white man who doesn't completely understand the things that my friend faces, I have to humble myself and say, champ, help me. Because I want to understand. This is why we have to have this conversation. And I begin to learn that this tragic death is not just one isolated event.
Right.
Again, it's a narrative, as Pastor Richard said, that's been going on for over 500 years. Now, if you disagree with that narrative, then you probably, I don't know where you've been living. I don't know what you've been reading or who you hang around. Because I don't know how you can disagree with that narrative of a problem that's been going wrong for a long time. So again, this is why as a church family, this is so great, because this is going to help us, because this is not one side against the other. We've got to be careful. This is not your side and my side. No, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we're walking together as spiritual family. And we're the answer. I'm telling you, we are the answer. With the gospel in our hearts and us understanding what we're going to focus on today, it starts with us, friends. If there's going to be unity and reconciliation, it starts right here in the church. Right here. And so thank God for this conversation. Pastor Richard was sharing with me. I want you to pick this up, Pastor Richard. He was just sharing with me another thing about stop and frisk. Go ahead, Chan.
Yeah, to really understand where a lot of frustration and anger, because I can understand that some people may not be aware of, once you scratch the surface of the topic of race, there are a lot of emotions that come up on both sides. And one of the reasons that these things happen is because there is a larger narrative. And we looked at one example, and there's a police strategy called stop and frisk. Anybody ever heard of this before? In larger cities like New York, it's very, very real. And over the course of years, thousands of, and it's usually where the police will go to a high crime area, which is usually a neighborhood where people of color live. And the police strategy, stop and frisk, is basically if you are in the neighborhood and the police simply believe that you may be thinking about committing a crime, or you, it looks like you're about to commit a crime, even if you haven't already committed a crime, they have permission in this law to come up to question you, to turn you around up against the wall and begin to pat you down to see if you have weapons or drugs or things like that. And what's happened is this has happened tens of thousands of times. People have been arrested and released. And because of this, there was the show I was watching about this. It said that because of this, it's created mental health issues in that community. And think about this. It says because of that, levels of anxiety have skyrocketed because people think now all I have to do is walk outside down my block and I can be arrested for no reason. Think about this for a second. When you see the narrative of Both and Jean being killed, unarmed, eating ice cream in every major news outlet over the course of a month, over and over and over again, now the narrative, what Pastor Lance was saying, he never imagines that he's going to be shot and killed eating ice cream in his house. But because of the larger narrative that's happened over the course of hundreds of years of systemic racism in the past, because of continued episodes that we see every few months, now in the repertoire of things that could happen in my mind, I have to add that I could get shot eating ice cream in my house. Even though I know logically it may not happen, but because I see it over and over and over again, levels of anxiety rise up. And now you've got a bigger divide that has happened. And that's why you see anger and frustration in different communities, because it's not an isolated event that most people of color look at when they see this, but it's part of a larger collection of things that have happened.
Yeah, that's so good, because see, again, that you just heard what Pastor Richard said. Now, for me as a white man, I'm beginning to understand. And so now I can really do what the Bible has called me to do and carry one another's burdens. I can weep with those who weep, and I can rejoice with those who rejoice. Now I can do my best because I've got a greater understanding. I can say, okay, I'm beginning to understand. Now I can begin to carry the burden that you feel as an African-American man. I can begin to carry it with you. This is why it's so important, friends, that we don't just dismiss or ignore this. That's why we talk about it. Now, the Bible talks about that we're ministers of reconciliation. That word is important to us.
Reconciliation means first that we are reconciled to a holy God. We are reconciled to Jesus and Him through what He did for us on the cross. We become reconciled with God. But then, as we are called ministers of reconciliation, we're also called to reconcile one to another. That means when there's tension, that means when there's a divide, we are called to go into the hard places.
Yeah.
That's one of the blessings and the benefits of being a believer in Christ, is He propels us to go and to have conversations, to go in the dark places and try to reconcile one to another.
Tremendous. So these conversations are going to happen. So as ministers of reconciliation, we have to know what to say and we have to know what to not say. Sometimes the not saying is more important than what you are saying. And so, again, I'm the white guy. Hello, I'm the white dude. So I'm going to help us white people know what not to say when things like this happen.
You're like Jeff Foxworthy, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
How
yeah.
You know you're what white people shouldn't say, top exactly. Three.
That's me. Here we go. We're going to have four things here. White folk, we don't need to say this, okay? Because again, why? Because I'm a minister of reconciliation. There's something I'm trying to accomplish. All right, here we go, white people. You ready, white people? All right. I know you're scared to agree with that, but that's all right. All right. First thing we don't need to say, maybe he deserved it. We don't know the whole story. Probably don't need to say that. Thousands of people die every day. Oh, Lord. Why are we focusing on this guy? Probably don't need to say that. Is this a liberal agenda?
or a conservative agenda. White people, we don't need to say that. Why are black people so angry? Probably something we don't need to say as a white, reconciled man or woman of God.
What was that other thing we said?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got black friends. I understand. Probably shouldn't say that. Pastor Richard, you take the other four continents and help us understand what not to say.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So, on behalf of all other ethnicities in the world, Wakanda forever, there are also things that we can say that can't say that actually don't go along towards reconciliation. These are things that we need to be aware of. And even though we may have feelings like this, we have to be aware that we are called first to honor Christ. For example, this is just another example of systemic racism. Now, you may feel that is true, but it doesn't build bridges towards reconciling the races. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Another thing not to say, things have not changed in 100 years. Now, there's a feeling out there that things have not changed since maybe even 1964. But in reality, things have changed. But by saying things like that, all we're doing is propelling the narrative that we are split, we can't be reconciled, we can't come together. And this is one that I've heard several times. Do not say this. I told you, you couldn't trust white people. Statements like that only promote racism. But as ministers of reconciliation, we have to help. And this is what we do. We practically involve ourselves in the process of reconciliation by weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice. So how do we do this practically? When someone comes up to you, especially a brother or sister in Christ who says they're upset about something or the way something happened, the first thing we need to do is legitimize that they're actually offended or upset or hurt. We can't simply say, well, you shouldn't be upset about that.
That's a good marriage tip, too.
It's a great marriage tip. Imagine a husband going up to his wife who's upset. Well, honey, you shouldn't be upset about that.
Exactly.
How does that fly at home?
I don't act like that.
Exactly. You shouldn't be upset. That's not a big deal, right? You can't do that to your spouse. You can't even do that to your kids. Well, you shouldn't be crying about that, right? That does damage. Well, imagine saying that to another person. Yeah. For you not to acknowledge that they are hurt or offended, all that does is completely separate you. And even though you may not agree, but you can be sympathetic. I'm so sorry that you're going through that. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I hope, let me pray with you. That's a better answer. Even if you don't agree that it's as bad as what they think, we have to legitimize it as part of reconcilers of Christ. Because the goal is not to reconcile them to us, but ultimately to reconcile them with the Holy God and the issues that they're walking through.
You know, another great practical thing, and we talk about this a lot here at Bethel. You know, Dr. King had a dream, that little black boys and little white boys would be playing together. And he proclaimed that dream even when it wasn't happening. You know, here at Bethel, Dr. King obviously got this from the gospel. He was Reverend Dr. King. He was a man of God. And so for us, we talk about a lot about having other ethnicities into our home and eating together. There's so much power, guys, of you and I sitting around the table with another ethnicity in talking about, number one, building a relationship with one another so that we can have conversations like what Pastor Richard just talked about, so that we could carry the burden together. Good. There's some of you guys are in here. Some of you guys are in here. We're so glad you're here. You know, coming to a church like Beth, I got to be honest, it's not easy coming to our church. It's not. You have to lay down a lot to be here. A lot of you have to lay down the way church is done, music style, preaching style, and I so appreciate you guys doing that for the dream of building a multicultural church, a multi-ethnic church. In this whole idea of eating together, you know, some of us have never had another ethnicity in our home, and that's got to change. If that's you, my encouragement to you, listen, there's a lot of ethnicities in this room. You need to go to someone who doesn't look like you. Is this going to be uncomfortable? You better believe it is. Is that person going to think, you're just doing this because Pastor Lance said so? You need to say, yep, that's right. I'm white. You're black. We need to hang together. Let's hook up.
And champ, you know, I think some people, even right now, think, why would I need to do that to make a change? It's historically, I mean, think about it. This is a churchy way of saying it, but historically, breaking bread has always brought people together.
So good.
When people sit down and eat together, you learn about them. You find out about them. And it's not just an idea that he just came up with that he thinks would be cool. This is historically what people have done. And we need to be a people that continues to build bridges with people that don't look like us because we live in a world that doesn't know how to make that happen.
That's exactly right. And we got to take the uncomfortable step and make it happen. We have to. Our encouragement for you to do that. You know, back to Botham John. And so basically what caused all of the ruckus is when Brant John, Botham's brother, ended up, as we know, as you saw on screen, hugging the white police officers. Let's roll that video.
I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
That's good, Shakira. You know, in the church, whether you're black or white or brown, some would say as they watch this, they would say, you know, forgiveness has been given. Therefore, we need to move on. Let's celebrate what Brant John did. He forgave this police officer, this white police officer. Now, for others in the church, and this is important for us, and this is where I had really, one of the great blessings I had is not only Pastor Richard, but I called one of our pastor friend in Cincinnati. He's African American, and he really helped me with this. He talked to me just about, as a white man, he said, Lance, don't be too quick to get on this forgiveness side. And this is why. For others, black, white, brown, whatever it may be, in the church, not lost people. I'm talking about your brother and sisters in Christ. They didn't get the warm and fuzzies watching that. For them, forgiveness was given too soon. Or it was a cheap grace or forgiveness that was extended. For them, it was here we go again. Another African-American man being killed by a white cop and getting a slap on the wrist. You might think, who's saying that? Your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's where we, see, here's the thing about, and this is how the gospel comes in. Because again, Pastor Richard said, both sides, justice, forgiveness, they both have something to stand on because both sides, God is all about. Right. If you don't know that our God is a God who demands justice, you don't understand the cross. Here's the good news, and this is where John 1 comes into play. This is not either or. This is not I have to agree on this side or this side, because the gospel is not either or. Pastor Richard, isn't that true? The good news is we're probably asking the wrong question.
Yeah, it's not either or, and this is really important for today. We're not called to be on one side or the other. We're not saying that, well, if I'm too much forgiveness, then I need to get some more justice. We're not saying if you're too much justice, you need a little more forgiveness. It's not either or. It's both and to the extreme. God, just as he said, he is an extreme God. And when he calls for justice, justice needs to be done. And people are not wrong for crying out for justice, just as much as people that cry out for forgiveness are not wrong for that. But choosing sides is not the gospel. The gospel is when the cross comes together, it's both extreme justice and extreme forgiveness came together at the exact same time. And we as God's people, we have to believe that we're not either or, but we're both and. Both and. The gospel does not minimize sin. It maximizes sin. Jesus didn't minimize sin. He actually made it harder to be obedient. And he's a God of justice. The reason why this moment was so, so powerful is because the sin was so great. His brother died. Cold blooded murder. Nobody denies it. Shot and killed. All he was doing was ice cream in on his living room. But at the same time, the gospel does not minimize sin. It maximizes God's grace and his truth.
That's so good. You know, Jesse, you can come on up. That's what made that moment so powerful, because the sin was so great. That's why everybody, you know, loves that forgiveness, him hugging her. So if you fall on the justice side, again, God wants you to be both and. If you fall on the forgiveness side, we need to seek justice. We think about Jesus. Jesus was an innocent man who died really an unjust death. It was injustice when it comes to what they did to Jesus. He was innocent. But see, this is where the beauty of the cross comes into play. The only way that justice and mercy and forgiveness could meet together was by an innocent man dying for a guilty people. He died for me. That's the message of the gospel. I don't have to seek either side. I can be both. I'm a both and. We're going to get t-shirts made for all of us. Both and people. Because this is who we are. And so today, if you have fallen, on the part of, I'm upset, I demand justice, it's good news for you. Ultimately, guys, final justice will come when Jesus returns. This is why we long for the second coming in Christ. You know, my dad, he was just diagnosed with ALS. And I tell you, when you get news like that, it causes you to long for the return of Jesus, because your heart's broken. And you know, when he comes back, he's going to right every wrong. He writes every wrong. If you're on the side of forgiveness, if you have been on the side of forgiveness, God wants you to see that this is a both and. The gospel is both and. I want Pastor Richard to end, because he really helped me with this as well, about really how the story of Jonah can help us really embrace this.
Yeah, this is a hard point. You know, we prayed a lot about how do we explain, you know, personally, right? How can we explain to a people who don't see that the cry for justice is warranted? Because some people do believe. We come from a church that believes so much in forgiveness that maybe in moments like this, we don't focus so much on the justice. And there's a people out there. You should see my social media trends. I've got family and friends who are crying out to justice for it to be served. And I prayed that God would help us to see how we can explain this. And really, the story of Jonah came to mind. And many of you guys may have heard of Jonah, Old Testament book, and many of you know Jonah as the guy who got swallowed by the whale and spit out, but it's so much deeper than that. If you recall, Jonah was called to do something almost unimaginable. He was called to carry God's message of forgiveness, God's message of reconciliation with him, to a people who had systematically tormented, a people who had systematically tortured, killed his people for hundreds of years. This was their number one enemy. This was a people who had, talk about systemic racism, the Assyrians hated the Jews. They wanted to wipe them off the planet. And now this guy named Jonah was called to go to them and offer God's message of forgiveness. Now, this is the hard point. And you might disagree with this, but there are many people of color in this community, in this world, and maybe even in this church, who think that white people are mostly like the Ninevites. And to offer forgiveness like what was shown on that video is equivalent to Jonah going to Nineveh and offering God's message of reconciliation, forgiveness, and peace with him. For some people, that move is too hard to make. And you might completely disagree with that. But this is the truth about how some see it. And if you can't legitimize that, you're never going to move forward in being a minister of reconciliation to the races in this nation.
That's amazing about Jonah. He didn't want to go.
No.
He didn't
want to. He ran the other way,
but he eventually went. And the whole Jonah, the argument, and here's the thing about Jonah, and this is where we're going to close, is Jonah causes us to long for someone greater. And that's where Jesus comes, because Jesus, he went no matter what. And when he lives in us, he gives us the strength and power to go. And I really hope today that, you know, there's been some things where you have been opened up to kind of hear a different view. And he's giving you grace. Why don't we stand together? As we close in prayer here, I do want to, on behalf of Pastor Richard, myself, I just want to thank you guys. I really want to thank you. We have a dream of building a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church. And to do that, we got to talk about uncomfortable things. And I appreciate you allowing us to do that. And I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you putting aside some of the things that you may like about church that we don't offer here at Bethel. But yet there's something in you that longs to be a part of a church that's full of nations. It's full of different ethnicities. And I so appreciate you doing that and being here and embracing this vision. We want this to go beyond the four walls of this church. This is why we talk about eating in our homes, inviting another ethnicity over. Because we want to change our city, guys. We want to change our city and change the world. Father, we love you. God, we embrace, Lord, this stewardship, this value you have given us of diversity. God, help us to live it out. Help us to, God, get outside of our comfort zone and to move closer to a brother or sister who doesn't look like us. God, I am praying that true, godly relationships, authentic relationships, would happen between brothers of a different color. God, that you would build us together. Lord, we believe in Ephesians 2. You're making one new man from the two. Make us. Let us have true unity, authentic biblical unity at this church. God, make us a both and people. God, give us opportunities to spread this message today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a big hand clap.